Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to God all my life long.
Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob.
Make heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them.
Praise the Lord.
Sisters and brothers, virtually all of Paul's letters begin the same way. Virtually all of Paul's letters begin this way: grace to you and peace from God. Paul then would go on to say that people in churches should greet one another in peace, and he gave many different ways that you could do it. Usually it involved looking someone in the eye. It always involved some kind of contact, whether handshake or hug. But you know what? Here's what he also said in those letters. He said, if you're particularly bold, if you're particularly feeling the Spirit, he said, and I quote, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, whether you are that bold or Spirit-filled this morning, I don't know. But our job this morning, nonetheless, is to share the peace of Christ. So turn to a neighbor and share that peace however you will. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace. Good morning. Peace. I'm just telling you. It's what it says. Peace. Good morning. Peace. Peace to you, Jerry. Peace. Good morning. Peace. There we go. Good morning. Peace. 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 You can't do it enough. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
You may be seated. Good morning. We can do better than that. Good morning. There you go. Friends, welcome. Welcome to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ, located here in beautiful Stockbridge. Welcome to those who seek to find the beauty of God amidst prayer, music, and word, for we have been working on and practicing that for nearly 300 years, and we still have a ways to go. Welcome to those who seek to share the love of God with your sisters and brothers, for that is our guiding star. Welcome to those who are wandering and in search of hope, for we claim as forebears a people who were lost for 40 years in the wilderness, and yet they still found their promised land. Welcome to man and woman, gay and straight, single and partnered, old-timer and newcomer, for here we are constantly being reshaped into one body. Welcome no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, for here we know that you are God's beloved not for anything you have done or will ever do, but rather because you are God's child, created in God's very own image. A special welcome this morning to anyone who is a guest or visitor with us this morning. You will notice in your pews, you will find one of these cards. It is a pretty picture, but more important, on the inside, there is a place for you to put your name and contact information. If you give us a way to get a hold of you, I promise you that we will. Simply drop it in the offering plate as it goes by. This green sheet here is full of information about our life here as a church. We want you to take it home with you. We want you to read it until you have it memorized. We want you to read it until in your sleep you can name everything that's going on at this church. We want you to know this so well that you might feel the tiniest bit of nudge to actually come and get involved in one of these things. It is full of things about our life together. I invite anyone who has an announcement to make about our life together to please come forward at this point to that microphone and do so.
Good morning. On your green sheet, you'll see an announcement on the back about the church pictorial directory. which is our project this fall. And we already had one portrait sitting day last Thursday, and we had dozens of people coming in looking gorgeous and getting their pictures taken. And we've got two more days available, this Friday and Saturday. And at coffee hour, there will be a table where you can sign up if you haven't already. And this isn't just for church members, but for church friends as well. If you would like to be in our directory, we'd love to have you there. And so when you get your picture taken for the directory, you get a copy of the directory for free and a free 8x10 of your photo. And then you have the opportunity to buy more photos if you want to give them to your daughter or your son or your grandchildren, but there's no obligation. But many people last Thursday were sorry that they had not brought their credit card or a check, because once they saw the picture, they said, oh, I'd love to give this to my family. So do bring your credit card or your check just in case. So hope to see you on Thursday and Friday.
I'm sorry.
Friday and Saturday.
Okay. On the green sheet, if you haven't memorized it already, the Festival of Chorus rehearsal starts at 1 o'clock today rather than noon.
Thank you, Tracy.
Good morning. We're trying to get people to help in the nursery, so if there's anybody who'd like to give up a Sunday morning in here to help out in the nursery with Jody, we've got a wonderful full-time person there, full-time on Sunday mornings, but we always like to have an extra hand because you know how it is with little kids. You need a little help. Thanks.
A couple of additional announcements that I have. We will once again be taking new members into the body and congregation of this church. We will take new members into this church on October 27th. But on this coming Saturday, October 5th, we will once again hold our Connections class. It is a two-hour discussion where we share our faith journeys, where we talk about the history of this place, about our denomination, about how we believe. It is a good and meaningful time, and we end with pizza. So if you are interested in coming to that, whether for the pizza or to learn more, please let me know. Today, we gather with a mix of emotions. Many of you received my email on yesterday, I believe it was, where we learned that our beloved brother Bruce Wise has passed away. He died on Thursday. His wife Vivian was holding his hand. She was sitting with him. He was at peace, and all was well with him and with God. This flower from Claire's garden has been placed down on our communion table as a testimony and reminder to his vibrant life and his beautiful gifts to this church. Today is also a day of mixed blessings and mixed feelings for another reason. Today, we bid farewell to our beloved minister of music, Evan Mack. Evan is leaving us for great reasons. He has new professional opportunities that will use his gifts in great ways and will allow him to spend much more time with his family, which is a great thing. So, Evan, we will miss you as you leave, but we will celebrate you while you are here. We will do some things in worship, and then you're invited to stick around afterwards for a special time with cake and gifts and presents and stories. Friends, once again, welcome to worship. You need to know that there never has been, nor will there ever be, another moment quite like this one. It is a moment made for the worship of God. So let's get to it. What I would ask now is that all of our children who are in here and our youth, which counts you, Anna Grace, would come on forward because we have a farewell to make to Evan. Evan, come on down. And for right now, Evan, we're going to have you sit right there.
He plays the organ and the piano. What else does he do?
wonders why he wears this thing? Who can tell me? Yeah, Diane.
So he looks like an angel?
So he looks like an angel. That's true. Any other ideas of why Evan wears such a thing like this? Yeah. So, not that Evan doesn't have perfectly nice street clothes. In fact, they look quite good. Evan wears this partly as a reminder to all of us, the same reason I wear this. Is that Evan's role here is not as a pop performer. Evan's role here is not to play music for music's sake. Evan's role here is to play music to help us know God and worship God better. So that's why he wears this. Now, Evan is leaving us today. So have you ever had a friend or somebody move away from you? Yeah? What did you do? Okay, Evan, did you hear that? You were supposed to write, and you were supposed to come visit sometime, okay? So that's one thing that you do when people leave. What else do you do when people leave? There you go. Maybe you throw a party, and we're going to do that. We tell the people who leave how much we love them and how much we're going to miss them. And here in worship, we do another thing. Because Evan is somebody who helps lead our worship, it is in worship that we formally say goodbye to him. And we not just say goodbye, but see, we trust Evan to pick out music for us. We trust him to lead our choir. We trust him to help us learn more about God. And today, what we're going to tell Evan, we're going to tell him a couple things. That we love him, that we're going to be sad to see him go, and we're going to release him from the responsibility of having to teach us those things anymore. We're going to tell him, we'll be okay. You go ahead and go, because we're going to be okay. All right? So I'd like you to stay here because you're going to have a role in helping us to do that. And now I'm going to ask the entire congregation, if you would, to take out one of your inserts. It's on the back of your hymn.
You will notice it says a time of parting, I believe, or something like that. Evan, will you please rise? Friends, our church family is constantly changing. People come and go. Babies are born. Children grow up. People commit themselves to one another. Loved ones and friends among us come to the end of their lives. Individuals move into our community and church life. Others leave us, moving away to new places, new experiences, and new opportunities. It is important and right that we recognize these times of passages of endings and beginnings. Today, we share the time of farewell with Evan, who has faithfully served as minister of music of this congregation since June of last year.
I thank the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ, its members and friends, for the love, kindness, and support shown to me in my time here. I forgive you and accept your gratitude, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God.
And so now I have some questions. First, do you, the members and friends of the First Congregational Church of the United Church in Stockford, release Evan from the duties of minister of music? If so, please say, we do with the help of God.
We do with the help of God.
Do you offer your encouragement to him as he moves into his new role? If so, please say, we do with the help of God.
We do with the help of God.
Evan, do you release this local church from turning to you and depending on you? If so, please say, I do with the help of God.
I do with the help of God.
Do you offer your encouragement to this church and its continued music ministry? If so, please say, I do with the help of God.
I do with the help of God.
And so now, before we pray together, I would ask the kids to come on up and gather around Evan. So come on up and stand here. One of the ways that we bless people in the church is by putting a hand on somebody when we pray. In our case, when we finish children's times, we often hold hands. So what I would ask you to do is to go ahead, perfect timing, and let's make a circle. Let's hold Evan's hand. And now, congregation, I invite you, let us pray a blessing on Evan. God,
whose everlasting love for all is trustworthy, help us to teach trust the future, with our spirit care. The time we were together in your name, sorrow after tears, our hopes and disappointments, guide us to the goal we cherish and memories, but move in new directions, until that time to come, when we are completely one with you, and with each other.
Friends, we are a church of music, and one of the ways we do all sorts of things is we sing. So I invite you now to stand as you are able and sing the great truth. Blessed be the high that abides. Amen. Friends, please be seated. When Paul left Colossae, a river town in the Roman province of Asia, when he left that town, he told them that he would write. And so I have no doubt that when that letter from Paul first came to the church in Colossae, word spread, and it spread quickly. It would have been passed from person to person. In public places where you didn't know who was there, it would have been whispered from ear to ear. And in homes and among friends, it would have been shouted from the rooftop that a letter from Paul had finally arrived. You see, Paul had spent time with the people in that city. He had worked long days and weeks with them, and he told them that he would write. And so when a letter came, it would have been a big deal. That letter was coming from Brother Paul, the one who told them about a God who took their breath away, the one who pushed them so hard to become one body in Christ. The one who taught them that the purpose of their entire lives was to live a life in imitation of Christ. And so when that letter came, small children would have ran through the town to tell those who they knew to tell. And they would have come. The wealthy merchants would have quietly closed up their shops, and they would have come. Mothers would have gathered their children, and they would have come. Beggars would have come. Farmers would have left their fields, and they would have come. And they all would have come into the room, sitting shoulder to shoulder. And I got to be honest with you, the people who would have come then, they would have come up here. They would have gotten as close as they could have because they wouldn't have wanted to miss a single word or syllable of that letter. They would have come up here shoulder to shoulder and they would have sat and waited. They would have sat and waited for the one among them who could read. And someone would have gone and gotten a chair and they would have gotten a chair and they would have put it right in the middle where everyone could see. And then the reader would have brought that letter forward and would have read to them.
Colossians 3:12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Can you picture such a scene? Can you picture all those people excited and crowding together in a room? Can't you see it? As the people would have listened to this letter from Paul, their spirits, they would have actually lifted. Hearing words that told them that they, those people, were beloved, that in fact they were holy, I think their faces would have filled with joy. Now, this is in the middle of this letter, and before this passage in the letter, Paul writes to them and says to them that he was proud of them. He says that he has heard that they were doing all of the things that they taught them, that he gave thanks for them, that he, in fact, gives thanks to God for them. Can't you imagine hearing that their shoulders would have risen just a bit and those chins would have come up in a little bit of happiness and pride? Paul told them in this letter that he knew that it was not easy to live as faithful Christians in a cosmopolitan world. He said, hey, I know when you actually try to do this stuff and when you try to actually imitate Christ in an educated world, that there are going to be people who are going to look at you as odd or crazy or weird or even dangerous. But Paul told them to stay true. And Paul told them he was never going to leave them to face their troubles alone. And all of those words, I think, were to get to the part of the letter that Tom read for us this morning, to make sure that the people in that room packed shoulder to shoulder with one another would have felt loved and lifted, encouraged. Because in this passage, whether you heard it or not, in this passage is even a far bigger challenge that Paul is throwing their way. The challenge of living in a whole new way. In the words that led up to this passage, Paul reminded them of how far they had come as a people because he wanted to know how much farther they had to go as a church. Paul told them to clothe themselves in a whole new way. Now, for you and I, we might think of that as a metaphor and try to figure out poetically what that means to clothe ourselves in a new way. But for the people packed shoulder to shoulder in that room, they would have heard that statement differently. Each of the people in that room, the merchant and the mother, the beggar and the farmer, it would have brought to their mind a huge day in their lives. The day when they were baptized. You see, in the ancient church, on your baptism day, the day that you became part of this one body, you literally took off your garments. You took off your garments, which symbolized your old life. You were washed, and you were forgiven. You were welcomed, and you were cherished. And then, as part of that baptism, you were given something brand new to wear. Something that didn't just symbolize your new life, but proclaimed your identity as one of those people. One of those crazy, weird, odd, and maybe even dangerous Christians. Clothing yourself was not just getting all dressed up. It was committing yourself to a new life. Clothe yourselves, Paul says, in compassion. And the people in that room, they would have remembered what Paul had taught them about Jesus, the one whom they followed, the one whose life they were supposed to imitate. They would have remembered the stories of how Jesus saw the blind, the paralyzed, and the deaf brought to him. And how the story said Jesus was moved with compassion and healing happened. How when he saw thousands who had followed him and sat up on the hills listening to his sermon, and dinner came and they had nothing to eat, it says how Jesus was moved with compassion and they ate. How when the leper fell to his knees in front of Jesus, how when the widow of Nain was burying her only son, how when Jesus saw the people lost and without a shepherd, Jesus each time was moved with compassion. And Paul was telling the people in that room that they were to be imitators of Christ, to be like Christ, to do what Christ did just as we are today. Be compassionate. Henry Nouwen says compassion is the centerpiece of what it means to be a Christian. Compassion is a word that has lost some of its edge. It's a word that we generally take for positive. It's a word that we generally take for good. It's a word too often that gets connoted with sympathy, a word that we so often underestimate and misapply. You see, compassion comes from Latin, from two different things, pati and cum, which literally means to suffer with. Compassion is not some warm feeling directed toward the unfortunate. It is not to have our hearts tugged at by some infomercial so that we might step in and solve a problem. Compassion really and truly means for us to share the pain of those who are broken, to be vulnerable right alongside those who are vulnerable. It means nothing short of full immersion in the condition of being a human being. Just like what God did for us in the Word made flesh, right? In Jesus, Emmanuel, which literally means God with us, a compassionate God. Compassion means letting go of competition and all those things we hold on to that makes us special, but to really and truly be with those in need, not to solve their problems, but to live with them, to make our homes with them in solidarity and togetherness. Can't you see it? Those people packed in the room. Having been felt so good about what Paul was saying, here's this, and I gotta bet that their mouths dropped and hit the floor. Live lives in imitation of Christ's very compassion, lives that matter. Clothe yourselves in compassion, Paul said. I wonder if those words really still have meaning to us. I wonder if telling us to clothe ourselves in compassion would make our mouths even open, let alone drop to the floor. Are we really, though, ready to take off our garments of our past life and put this new one of compassion on? Before you say yes, which I hope you will, there are a couple things you should know. First of all, compassion means to be all kinds of stirred up. Not here, but here. When Jesus was moved with compassion in the Gospels, the verb for that moved with compassion comes from a Greek verb that means to be thoroughly and totally moved in your gut. In the Greek time, your guts were where your most intimate and powerful passions resided, love and hate. It's where the most dangerous and powerful of emotions resided. Compassion doesn't come out of sympathy. It comes from being moved in the most profound of ways in the center of your being. When you hear the words, Jesus was moved with compassion, it means this: Jesus, the source of all life, trembled. It means this, that Jesus, the ground of all love, burst wide open. It means that Jesus, the abyss of God's immense, inexhaustible, and unfathomable tenderness, revealed himself to us. And that is what Paul is calling us to do. If your mouth is not yet hanging low, it should be. To truly be compassionate means to give up privileged positions and to look in the midst of human suffering and to discover God there. Karl Barth, the renowned Protestant theologian, says that to have compassion is to build our home in the midst of suffering and live there. Compassion is to be moved to the core of our being, not to achieve success or to solve a problem, not to bend down lower and simply pick someone up, but to really be there, to dwell with the other as our brother, so that their spirits might lift, so that their faces might fill with joy, that their shoulders might rise, that their chin might go up, so that they might know they are the holy and beloved of God. You getting the challenge? But here is the other thing about compassion that you need to know. The thing that the people in that room would have known. The thing that would have been second nature to them. The thing you always need to hear every time you hear Paul's teaching. This challenge to live compassionately is not some individual character trait to go out there and develop. It is not some skill for us to go out there and practice on our own. Compassion always and only reveals itself most fully in community. In a new way of being together in this body of Christ. To try to be the kind of compassionate being that Christ was and to do it alone in the kind of world we live in is a recipe for disaster. It is a surefired way to become overwhelmed or to fall in the trap of trying to solve the problem. It is only joined with each other in a Christian community, that we can look this world right in the eye and fully recognize the total human condition without panicking and running away. It is the only way that we can really make our home in the midst of all that pain. I think by now, each of you know how much I love this church. I do. How much, in fact, I love each and every one of you. How much I want us as a church to grow as a community. Not just in numbers, not just so that you sit shoulder to shoulder and all the way to the front and maybe even up there. But more importantly, to grow in the depth of our connection to God and to each other. I got to tell you, my life has been good for the last few weeks. Partly because 15 people of this church, 15 people have agreed to dedicate an entire year of their life reading scripture, studying scripture, and getting together every week to talk about it and what it means for their life as people of faith. And when we do that, we become church together. This passage from Paul, I think, is one of the best statements in all of the Bible about what it really means and what I desperately hope for this church, that as one body, we clothe ourselves in compassion. It is something that should leave our jaws hitting the floor and something that should leave us clinging to one another on our journey forward. Friends, it doesn't exist in the Bible. You could take this great big book and you could look through it and you're not going to find a Colossians 2 or a Colossians 3 or 4. There's no next letter from Paul in our Bible to this church with a new lesson or a way to take their life and faith even further. But I have no doubt that there were other occasions where children ran through the streets with shouts and whispers, other occasions where the merchant and the mother, the beggar and the farmer, they crowded together shoulder to shoulder in a room to learn. Because here's the thing, when you are baptized, when you take off those old clothes and put on new ones, you know it is just the start of a new journey. As a Christian, life is always a journey of becoming, where lessons, even as central and as important as the lesson of compassion, is never an end, but always a point to a way of living that is still yet to be, more deeply connected to God and more closely bound to one another. Paul wants us to strive with every breath to imitate Christ, to become as close to Christ as we can. The one we follow, the resurrected one, it is something worth striving with our every ounce of being. Sisters and brothers, I ask you now to rise to your feet and let us sing of that great truth.
Friends, you may be seated. One of the ways we become that body is to share our prayers with one another, our joys and our concerns. We share them with one another so that we may take those prayers with us in the days to come. And so I ask this morning, what joys and what concerns do you, the people of God, have on your hearts this day? We do give thanks for the beautiful life of Bruce Wise, and we offer our prayers for Vivian and for the boys and for all who mourn his loss. We will lift up a prayer today for good health care for all people in this nation. And how about we'll leave it at that? Other joys and concerns. Yes. I give thanks for two sets of grandparents sitting over on the side, the Gelderts and the Damros. Welcome. We are welcome to have, we are joyed to have friends here. And Sam, welcome. Welcome back. Welcome home. Alice. We lift up Dory Slosik, a longtime faithful member of Women's Service League and friend of this church, who also passed away this week. We give thanks for you, Evan, and the gifts of ministry that you have brought us to help us see a glimpse of God. Thank you. Other joys and concerns. Then I ask that you take a moment of silence to let those settle into your hearts and wind into your soul. Loving God, in you whom we trust, we offer you praise and thanksgiving for the bounty of our lives and for the gift of this church and for all those who have come through these doors these many years. On this morning, God, we are so aware of change. Change in the seasons around us that brings joy to some who welcome the cold, brisk days, and dread for others that cold and snow is yet to come. God, on this morning, we have change in leadership of this church on our mind as we bid a fond farewell to Evan and Kristen, to Henry and Carter. God, we ask you to send your greatest blessings down on the Mack family in their new adventures. May Evan's gifts bring joy and beauty wherever he goes. God, we ask for your blessings on this church. Bless our search committee, bless our music committee, bless our congregants, that we might listen for your still small voice and how you are calling us to move forward. Today, God, we rejoice in the strength of your promise, the promise that you will be with us always and that when this earthly life has passed, that you will gather us up in your arms and you will hold us so tight forevermore. On this day, God, we ask you to open those arms wide because we are sending you two angels. We are sending you Dory, and we are sending you Bruce. God, welcome them. Give them peace. Give them rest until we are all joined together at the end of all time. Loving God, we give you thanks for all we are and all we might yet be. And now we are bold enough to lift our voices as one voice, praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, Paul ended many of his letters in the same way. Towards the end of his letter, he wrote to them to give, to take up a collection that might be brought to the widow and the poor, to give of what they have to share with others. It was part of a way of encouraging compassion, part of what it means to imitate Christ. And so this morning, we continue the long tradition of giving. It is in that spirit that the offering will be given and received. Holy and loving God, we give these gifts back to you. We give these gifts from our hearts and from our lives out of what you have given us, and we give them back to you and ask you to bless them. Bless them with your love and your grace and your mercy, that they have no choice but to spread love to the world. God, we are bold enough to also ask you to send that same blessing down upon our lives, that all we touch, that all we do and all we say is grounded in your love for us. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, a couple of quick invitations to you before we go our separate ways. A couple of invitations before we worship God with our lives out there in the world. The first one is this. For those of you who don't know, the direction you want to head after church is not that way. The direction you want to go is that way. That way is where the food is. That way is where the people is. That way is where a gorgeous cake baked by Jane McCormick is to celebrate Evan. There will be stories and gifts and fun. Another invitation, again, please don't forget that if you are interested in learning more about this church or even contemplating what it might look like to be a member, please come and join us for class on Saturday, the 5th of October at 10:30, or just chat with me and let me know. Friends, if there's any doubt about it, when we sing, we glorify God. So let's close our worship by singing to God. Friends, Jesus said you ought to always pray and never faint. And so, my brothers and sisters, I say to you, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger women and men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but for power equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work will be no miracle. You will be the miracle. And every day you will wonder at yourself and the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God. And so go now, in the peace of God, to love God and to love one another. And let the whole church say, Amen. Amen.
Thank you. it here, and we like Brent.
Yeah,
we like the people. We've been coming on and off for like 8 years. So.